Good word. Praise God. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just trying to get this thing to cooperate with me. It doesn't want to. Okay. Oh, it's good to see everybody. And we've been doing a series on we can't, but God can. He can do the impossible. And so we've been doing a series on that, and this morning, the title of our message is His Resurrection Power. And we're going to talk about, we've talked about God is the master builder, the master, He has a plan for us. We talked about His presence. We talked about being prepared for what God has prepared for us. Excuse me, and this morning we're going to talk about His resurrection power. And then when I was talking to Ben before we came out, he said, I'm going to speak on the newness, the new covenant, and that we need to remember that this is a new thing. It's not an old thing. It's the new covenant. And I said, you know, I'm speaking on His resurrection power. And where we're going with this is it's a new thing. Because if this is new covenant, with God, Jesus going to the cross as the final, the perfect sacrifice, and then we're going to talk about His resurrection power. That's new. That's always there. It's not an old thing. It's a new thing. And so, you know, you ever meet someone on the street, and could be a relative, just could be a friend, or maybe a long-lost friend, and you sit and you chat and you talk, and he tells you or she tells you what's been happening, and maybe good things, maybe some bad things, and what they went through and experienced, and then you walk away, and don't you sometimes wonder, like, well, what happens now? Like, what are they doing now? And or if you ever watch a movie or read a book, and you read the story, and the story ends, and do you ever wonder, like, what happened to that person? Like, what are they doing now? And so I want to talk about that. It's like, what is Jesus doing now? He's resurrected. His power, the resurrection power. And sometimes we wonder if people feel that about Jesus' ascension to heaven. Hey, Jesus, what are you doing now? Sometimes we can forget and remember all the things that Jesus did walking on this earth. And all of a sudden, you know, God becomes man and is born in this little town of Bethlehem. Here's the story. And Jesus demonstrates His divine power, His preaching and performing miracles. He lives a perfect life but is wrongly convicted and goes to the cross. Here's the story. Like, if you met Jesus on the street, He's going to tell you the story of His life. 3 days later, or He takes on the cross, He takes our sins, and this is what we just did this morning. And here's this, you're talking to Jesus, and then you hear the story, or someone's telling you a story about Jesus, and 3 days later, He triumphantly rises from the dead. And during the next 40 days, Jesus is walking on the earth, the Bible says, and He shows Himself to, what, over 500 people? And so, and on the 40th day, Jesus returns to heaven. Now, if that's the story, if this is just a story, then it ends, Jesus is in heaven. But what I like about the story is it isn't the end. Jesus' ascension into heaven assures us that God is giving us powerful gifts, that God is still alive. Jesus is still alive. See, the story doesn't end. And sometimes as believers, we kind of like read the story and we get caught up in everything that Jesus did, and we forget that He's still alive. He is still powerful. He's still the Son of God. And He's coming back. We sang about it this morning. So what I want to talk about today, what I want to see us recognize is that Jesus is now. His resurrection power is still now. These powerful gifts that guide us through life and guarantee us the glorious life of heaven. See, we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. And sometimes, you know, believers just say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm here, we're dealing with the issues of today, and, but no, I'm going to heaven. Jesus is coming back for us. He's coming back for His church. That's because the resurrection power is alive, and it's still now. It's still good for today, and it's going to be good for tomorrow, and it's going to be good for next month, and it's going to be good for next year. It is going to be good until Jesus comes back, and guess what? After he comes back, it's still going to be good because he's going to reign and set up his kingdom. So I wanted to us to understand that his resurrection power is alive, and it's now. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17 and 18, we're going to read these two verses first. The resurrection power is now. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. See, Paul's praying this prayer. He's praying this prayer for the believers in Ephesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. So Paul is praying this for the believers. Believers who don't feel the power of God in their lives right now. So Paul's trying to encourage them. You know, we go through times where we just, you know, is the power of God there? Is God hearing me? Is God there with me? You know, I'm going through the storm. And, you know, I was just talking to someone yesterday, and they said, you know, they said, Pastor Tom, we, you know, when you started preaching, you know, we know the verses and we learn the verses and we can quote scripture but we want to get out of the storm. And the person said, I remember what you said. It's not trying to get out of the storm, is that we still have Jesus in the storm. That's the important thing. We still have Jesus in the storm. And so Paul is praying, hey, believers, hey, church, come on, we're going to go through some things. The enemy's going to try to come in. He's going to try to deceive you with other doctrine and different things. And he goes, but hey, come on, let's stay focused. You know, I'm praying that God would enlighten you. I like what he says. Paul asked that God gives to his fellow Christians the spirit of wisdom. We need the spirit of wisdom today. I'll tell you, there's a lot of wisdom out there, and it's not the spirit of God. And so Paul's praying for the believers. He says, man, that God would give you the spirit of wisdom. And then he says, and the revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul's saying, you need to know who this Jesus is. We need to continue to go after that. And so wisdom and knowledge, it's revealed in the Word of God. You know, how much do we get into the Word of God? Because that's where the wisdom and knowledge is revealed. It's not just walking around aimlessly and say, oh God, please show me your wisdom. Oh God, you know, sometimes we do that. I know, you know, we just like, okay, God, you're God, and you're in control of everything, and we know that you're there, so just, you know, pour your wisdom upon me. You know, but Jesus says, wait a minute, there's a whole book of wisdom. There's a whole book of knowledge. Does anybody want to maybe open it up and read who I am? And so he reveals this through the Word. He reveals who he is, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do for us. Man, wouldn't that interest you to say, I better go into the book. I better read the Word of God. The Bible reveals how Jesus perfectly executed God's plan to save us from the guilt and the eternal punishment of our sin. That's what we just did. That's what we just did with communion. And then he goes into verse 18. The Holy Spirit opens, they would open up our eyes. Let's read verse 18. The eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know again what is the hope of his calling. So he goes, to reveal the knowledge of him. Then he says, to know him. I think there's something that God's trying to do here, to know, to have the knowledge of him. And then in Peter, in 1 Peter, it says, our inheritance never perishes or spoil or fades away. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you and I. And God is involved with you, and he's involved with your future. He is preparing a place for you and I. And he wants us to know that. And so that word know there means, twice he says that in 17 and 18, and that word know means to have an interview with, to visit, to experience. God wants you to experience him. This is the most important thing that we sometimes as believers just have a hard time with. You know, well, I'll just read the Bible. I'll come to church. I do everything that I'm told to do. God does not want you to do everything you're told to do. God wants you to spend time with Him. I was just talking to someone yesterday. My aunt. Okay. My aunt, her birthday yesterday, 97 years old. And she still drives. So I don't know if that's good or bad. 97 years old. I'm going to tell you what she told me last night when I called her and wished her happy birthday. She goes, one of the things she said, she loves to talk. I mean, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to call my aunt. And I said, I'm going to be on the phone for a while. And she'll go through 97 years. But this is the key. Catch this. This is what she said to me. She goes, there's a lot of times I pray. I've been praying for, she's been in the same church for 60, over 70 years. Playing the organ. Okay? And she's still playing the organ. And so, let me get my train of thought here. So this is what she says to me. I said, oh man, this is awesome. I gotta, that's wisdom. She goes, I've been praying for how many years, right? I think she received Christ when she was like 16 or 17, maybe something like that. And of course, at that time, her father didn't like her because she accepted Christ, had a hard time, and, you know, was really looked down upon. But from that day forward, never turned away from Jesus. 97 years old, okay? And this is what she says to me. She goes, I pray a lot. But you know what God just told me recently? He goes, why don't you just listen? Why don't you just listen to me? She goes, you know what I do now? She goes, I don't even pray anymore. I just sit down and go, God, I'm here. I'm here to listen. Wow. Wisdom? Wisdom? Come on, church. If a whole church, Calvary Gospel, went into their prayer closet and never said a word and just listened to Jesus, come on, we would change the world. If not, your neighborhood, maybe your spouse, maybe your children, maybe your students. Come on, listen. God says, I want you to know me, the knowledge of me. Hey, I forgot to bring it. Oh, man, I had a nice prop. It was a chocolate candy bar. I forgot to bring it. No chocolate candy bars around here? No? Oh, man. But this is, he goes, I want you to experience me. I want to sit down like we're doing an interview. Hey, listen, I want to talk to you. Hey, I'm going to give you a chance to talk, but 90% of it, I want you to listen. Be a listener. Oh, what wisdom. How long have we known my aunt? And now she tells me when I'm 61 years old, hey, let's listen. Why didn't you tell me that like 40 years ago? I could have been not in so much trouble. And so he says, Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He just doesn't say, okay, read it, memorize it, put it in your heart, put it in your mind. No. He says, taste and see. You don't taste and see unless you spend time with Jesus. So he says, get to know. I had this prop, the chocolate candy bar. I love chocolate candy bars. Any kind of chocolate. And you know it's the chocolate candy bar because it says Hershey's chocolate. But Jesus doesn't want us to know something by a label. He wants you to bite into it and say, I know this is chocolate. I just didn't read it on the label. I know this is chocolate. Hey, this would be a better example. Honey. I know this church is into honey. I mean, a lot of people like manufacture this honey, right? But if you give me a bottle and it says honey, it's like, honey. But when you taste some of the honey that's come from this church, I know it's honey. And so what Jesus is saying, what Paul's saying, he's praying to the church. He's going, come on, church. He goes, do you really know him? Have you experienced him? There's a lot of gifts that he wants to give you, church. Not just wisdom. not just knowledge, not just enlighten your eyes to see who he is for the hope that he has for you and your kingly inheritance. Those are all great things. But he says, will a church sit down in their prayer closet and just listen? Get to know me. Wish I had that candy bar because I'm hungry. And it's like, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of us actually taste and see Jesus? We have to. We just can't sit there with someone and say, hey, you know what the Word of God says? No, you're going to hell, and unless you get saved, unless you repent, and unless you walk with God. And hey, how about taste and see what the Lord, how good he is, and say, hey, do you know how much God loves you? Again, I speak to a lot of people. Because just the other day, again, I was speaking to a couple of people, and God just gave me this new way to pray. And he says, a lot of times we pray like, change that person, Lord. Isn't our prayers like that? Hey, you know how he is. You know how she is. Lord, you know they're wrong. So change that person. Oh, God, you know, have mercy. Show him or her how wrong they are. How many times have we prayed like that? Come on. Come on, I'm not the only one. Okay, I guess I'm the only one. Come on. How many times, thank you, Alex, you and I, out of Calvary Gospel, we're the only ones that say, Lord, come on, you know they're wrong. You know he's not walking with you or she's walking you, you know, correctly, that he could be or she could be kind of put on the path once again. This is what the Lord showed me. See, this church should be really glad that he shows me all these things first and I have to deal with them before he even comes to you. He says, Pastor Tom. Sometimes he calls me Pastor. Sometimes he just says, Tom. And when I know when he calls me Tom, I'm in trouble. It's like when you call your child by their first and middle and last name, they know they're in trouble. So he goes, Tom, why don't you, like, I'm not going to go after that person you want me to pray for because I think he's a bad person. I want you to catch this. I'm going after that person because I love them. Oh man, you're really messing my mind up. Now I got to sit and listen. And then if I do pray, I have to pray that you love them? Boy, isn't that a whole new concept? God, let's just pick a name. Johnny. You know how Johnny is, God. Open up his eyes to see how much you love Johnny. Open up his eyes to see how much grace you have for him. Open up his eyes so that he would see your mercy. Lord, open up his eyes that he would see your compassion. Open up his eyes, Lord, to show him the plan that you have for him. Lord, open up his... Man, that's a much better prayer than saying, Lord, get him. Get her. Jesus never came because he was angry with us. Jesus came because he loved us. Do you know that? Have you tasted and seen the Spirit of God in you like that? And so Paul is praying this to them. Praying this to them. Man, I want you to catch this. And so we need to know the experience of walking with God and his power. The experience. I don't want to tell people, hey, you know, he turned 5 loaves and 2 fishes into feed 5,000. Hey, he raised the dead. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he did the miracle there. Yeah, he parted the Red Sea. Yeah, he healed the blind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, they're not experiencing that. They want you to come up to them and say, hey, Debbie, my life was messed up, but I met Jesus. Actually, Jesus met me, and he loves me. He freed me when I was just a person that felt unworthy and a sinner that we all are, but God encountered me. He came after me. Think about it, the lost sheep. He says he leaves the 99. Why? And goes after the one. Why? Because he was lost. not because he was bad. He was lost. So that's what Paul's praying. Hey, catch this, Jesus. And we go to verse 19. Here's the verse. Verse 19 says, and what is this exceeding greatness of his power? Oh, his resurrection power. To us who believe. He's talking to the believers, talking to you, church. According to the working of his mighty power. Paul is saying, I want you to know God's power. That greatness of God's power is in you. It's what he is doing in us right now. We're not looking for that power to come. The power is here. If you know Jesus, you have the power. And he's saying that. Paul's saying, hey, that power is in you. Paul is emphasizing the power of God in the believer rather than the power which God gives the believer. He's given it to you. I'm not waiting for God to give me power. I'm not waiting for God to heal my body. I'm not waiting for God to walk with me. He is walking with me. He is talking with me. He has healed my body. He has provided for me. He is my good shepherd. He is my resurrection and life. He is my bread of life. He is my King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. He is. And Paul's saying, hey, church, he is in you. The resurrection power is now. Hallelujah. So Paul's saying, he says in verse 19, I'm getting excited. Oh, man. Working his mighty power. You know what that word working means? Energy. Potential power. Energy is power that has been liberated. That means it's been released and it is actually working and accomplishing something in your life. It's not, oh, I hope the power works. It says it is working. It is happening. It is doing it now. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Come on. It's now. He's doing this now. And then he says the mighty in verse 19. He says, according to his work of his mighty power, strength overcomes, that prevails, that conquers. And then he says, mighty power. It means dominion, complete, created by God. Hey, this isn't a power that just he just happened to stumble upon. It is who he is, and who he is in you. Working that power every single second, every single minute, every single hour, every single day. Bible says there's no idols, political or government powers, or presidents, or prime ministers, or governors, or scholars, or philosophers of the wisdom of this world. Nothing can compare with God's power. That's what Psalm says. Psalms 40. You can read it. No one is able to advise him or give him anything. He is everything in and of himself. He is everlasting in might and strength and in power. That's what's going through you right now. That's what Paul's saying. Church, get to know the power because it is working and it is energy. It is active. It is mighty and it is powerful. Hallelujah. Here's the key. Pastor Tom, that sounded good, and you look good running around. Man, you're excited. But how do I do this? What does that mean to me? I'm glad you asked. Five ways that God shows his greatness to you and I. He just doesn't leave us there. His resurrection power. The first thing he does, he shows us, is that he broke the power of death. He broke the power of death. It says, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He broke the power of death. Paul illustrates the power of God by the resurrection of Christ. Why did he choose the resurrection power? Why didn't he say it was the power of creation? It was the power that he showed during the flood. It was the power that he showed during the Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea. Why didn't Paul say it? Why wasn't it written? Why didn't God speak that word? It's like, no, it was the resurrection power. Why? It's a perfect analogy of what happens to us spiritually. It also helps to show our spiritual union with Christ. We were once dead, and now we are alive. Hallelujah. That's resurrection power. God didn't want you just to be happy with creation. God wanted to say, hey, even though creation and the parting of the Red Sea and keeping the planets and everything going and everything that's happening, what was so important to me is that you have life, spiritual life. And so he calls it the resurrection power. The power of God towards us has raised us spiritually from the dead and given us life and faith. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By his grace, we have been saved. It's resurrection power. It's all about us walking with Jesus. He broke the power of death. 1 Corinthians 15:54. We know this verse. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death has swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Number one thing is that he broke the power of death. That's why we can hang on to his promises. And number two, we are seated together with Christ. Whew. Can you imagine that? We're seated together with Christ, seated with him and his right hand in heavenly places. That power that installed Jesus at God's right hand has put us there also. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. That's what Ephesians 2:6 says. We're seated together. Why church, can we hang on to this? Because he broke the power of death. And we are seated with him where he is seated. And number three, the power over the enemy. This was always my favorite verse. Verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Power over the enemy. Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The cross. There's power in the cross. He has power over them. They are a defeated foe. They are not yet out of the world, and battles are yet to be fought. That's true. But the power from God for us now in these battles is the resurrection power. It's not a power that we don't know anything about. It's not a power that doesn't work. He's resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. That's the power that we're trusting in. We're not hoping. We're trusting in this resurrected power, which is now. We will go through battles. But now we know that Jesus is with us. And he's overcome it. Number four, he's ahead over all things given to the church. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The risen Jesus Christ is head over all things. I don't care what's out there in this world. He is the head over all things. Do you see that? Do you believe that? God gave him as head over all things to the church. See, Jesus is not serving himself. Whoa, Jesus is not serving himself. We don't get to serve ourselves. Which means with all that power and all that authority and all that wisdom, he serves us as our head and as our leader, as our Savior, as our King, as our Father. He serves us. It says he's the head of the body. We are the body, the church. You are the church. God, Jesus, is the head over all of us. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Jesus is the head over all of us. The church is the body and Christ is the head. The body possesses the fullness, it says, of Christ, being filled with his Spirit, empowered to carry out the work he desires. That's why I can believe God. You're going to give us wisdom. You're going to give us knowledge. We're going to get to know you more. Why? Because of what you have done. It's resurrection power. And the last one, we will rule with him. That is awesome. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's power towards us intends to fill the universe with the authority of his crucified and risen Son. See, we're saying, Lord, you know, I wish you would like change the world and change the people and do all this stuff. And God says, I did through my Son Jesus, and he lives inside of you, so go change the world. Jesus is in you. The resurrection power, it's real, it's now, it's in you. Go change the world. Go change the world. You are full of Jesus. You know, some people say you're full of a lot of stuff. I'm full of Jesus. You're full of Jesus. That has got to change how you wake up in the morning. It has to. God's power towards us intends us to fill the universe, I'm going to repeat it again, with the authority of his crucified and risen Son. Where he rules, we will rule. He created humankind in the beginning to inhabit a beautiful creation and to subdue it. We know that in Genesis. And to enjoy it and to reflect his glory. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. That's what God's asking us to do. Let's do it now. Reflect his glory. Subdue the work of the enemy in your life and in your neighbor's life and in your children's life. Just like Olga said, man, come on. I'm going to read this. I'm going to end with this. This is what I'm going to end with. Hopefully you just catch it. Man, take a picture. Take a picture of this. Get your phones out. I don't care. You have to remember this. Church, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We cannot be sleeping. We need to wake up. We know there's a battle, and it's going on. The devil wants your marriages. The devil wants your children. The devil wants your health. The devil wants your finances. The devil wants your job. See, why we don't believe these five things is because we don't know the severity of how the enemy works. We are so blinded by it. If you really knew the demonic forces that are going around trying to kill you, trying to destroy you, trying to take your children, trying to take your marriage, if you could see that happening, which thank God he doesn't allow us to see the battle, but if we could, you'd be sitting here screaming and yelling, yes, Pastor Tom, I'm with you. Why? Because I saw the battle. I see what's happening. I see the enemy trying to take. I see the enemy trying to destroy. I see the enemy trying to take hold of things. But God shuns that from us by the grace of God. But I'm telling you, just because you're here and your children are sitting with you, it doesn't mean that the demonic forces of hell are not trying to get your kids. By the grace of God, through the church, through prayer, like Olga was saying, come on, if we knew the severity of what was happening, we would all get on our knees and weep and say, thank God that you broke the power of death. Thank God that we're seated with you. Thank God that you have the power of the man. Thank God you're the head of this church. And thank God we will rule with you. Satan does not like your worship. Now we're going to get into the church. He does not like your prayers. He does not like you serving. He does not like you giving your money. He does not like you giving your time. He does not like you loving your enemies. He does not like you having a forgiving attitude. He does not like you having grace. He does not like you having mercy. If we could see that, then we could visualize, oh God, have mercy. Thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you for your resurrection power. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of his word, his shed blood, and his never-ending life, we will win for the glory of our risen King. I'm going to read it one more time. We got to get this, church. We have to. In the name of Jesus and by the authority. Max, how fast can you write? Max, you can do this. I'll pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. Max, do this. Write this out. In the name of Jesus. Well, you have it up on my notes. In the name of Jesus. I want it on the screen. And by the authority of his word, his shed blood, and his never-ending life, that resurrection power, we will win for the glory of our risen King. Give Max a minute. We're going to be done. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to get this. The resurrection power is now. The resurrection power is now. He's given us all these promises. And you say, well, Pastor Tom, those are good promises, and I read them all the time. But how am I sure of that? Take a picture. Take a picture. Wake up every morning and start saying, man, thank you, God. Come on, take a picture of this. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. I'll tell you what. You're going to need it before I close in prayer. You're going to need that. And I'm not saying, I mean, we are victorious, right, Alex? We are victorious, man. I love hanging out with Alex because, man, he's a fighter. Spiritual warfare. Where's Elena? We got fighters in this church. I want you to know that this church prays for you and everybody in this church. We're going to be a fighting church. We're not fighting to win. We're already victorious. But we're fighting that that enemy does not take foothold in your life, your children's life, your marriages. We are going to fight, and we are going to fight, and we are going to fight. But guess what? In the name of Jesus, and by the authority of his word, and his shed blood, his never-ending life, he's risen, he's alive. He was alive before creation. He was alive. He created creation. We have won. We will win for the glory of our risen King. Praise God. We need this. We need this. Times are getting tough, and tougher. But guess what? We have won because of Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of his word, his shed blood, and his never-ending life. His never-ending life. His never-ending life. He's alive. It's resurrection power now. It's resurrection power now. It always has been. It always will be. Hallelujah. And we have won. And we have won for the glory of our risen King. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, first of all, thank you for this beautiful church. Church is the people that you have created in this place. God, what plans you have for this church? Mighty, 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 mighty plans. Once again, God, church, if he actually made it visible to you and I, we would fall on our faces and say, God, how can that be? God, how can that be? Do you know who I really am? I don't know if I can. I don't. God says, it's my plan. And I'm going to use you. But church, just don't read the label. Taste and see how good God is. That's what Paul's cry was to a church. Taste and see. Remember, it's the resurrection power now. It wasn't the power that created the universe. It wasn't the power that, it's the same power, but he used this analogy. It's his resurrection power. He's alive. He's alive. And he's asked us and he's welcomed us. And we sit with him. He's defeated the enemy. Will we have battles? Yes. But we win because of the resurrection power. Church, you have it. The resurrection power. You have it. You have it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the plan that you have for this church. Thank you for preparing us for what you have prepared for us. And Lord, that you're giving us glimpse. You're giving us glimpse. We are a fighting church. We will always be a fighting church. We are going to fight for our children, fight for our marriages, fight for our spouses, fight for our neighbors. We're going to fight for our health. We're going to believe that we are healed. Lord, we're going to believe it, and we're going to stand on your promise, and we're going to move forward. The only thing we're fighting about is say, enemy, get out of my family. We are victorious through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God be with you. Have a blessed day. Have some fellowship downstairs.